Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch. Hello everybody, here from the New York Stock Exchange, and joining me now is the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 40 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange.
Yes. You know what? It was actually March 28th, 1985, so it's just a little over 40 years. Yes, thank you.
So good to see you, Peter.
Always a pleasure.
So we have a lot of topics. It's exciting times in a good way and in a bad day.
Yep.
So I was here like 5-6 weeks ago, and you said we are like on the edge. There must be a decision in which direction U.S. economy and decisions have to go.
Right.
Did you see any decisions yet?
Okay, so look, I'm not sure when we spoke last, but I wasn't sure whether we had already been through, if we retrace for a minute and we go back to that February 19th record high, and then we had that sell-off from February 19th till about April 9th, right? That was that market, you know, it was around the tariff. The first time Mr. Trump mentioned the imposition of tariffs in Canada, Mexico, and then how it escalated to the bigger picture, and how the market, based on his manner of disseminating information, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of lack of confidence, eroding the confidence in the market. Even quoting Ken Griffin, the head of CEO of Citadel, who is a supporter of Mr. Trump, said that he believed that the manner in which Mr. Trump handled it eroded the brand America concept, which is, you know, it's all about perception and confidence. So anyway, we sold off into the lows of April 9th, which we were down, may have been April 15th. We actually, at one point, were down more than double digits, more than 20%. Now, I think at the time I said to you, I said, I'm not sure if we're going to look back at this time and go, this was a time we should have probably been selling because it's going to get a lot worse, or is this sell-off an opportunity to buy? As we know, 2024, we had 7 sell-offs, pullbacks, whatever you want to call them. There were no crashes, and they were all buying opportunities rather than selling it, as all pullbacks have been historically. I don't think anybody would have been able to predict the reversal that happened in the coming weeks after I think you were here, which was a complete reversal of the market. We were able to regain all of the losses, double-digit losses that we incurred around Liberation Day or Independence Day. I don't remember what he called it. But we went from down 22% and we regained almost the levels. And we are now 3% off record highs. We were a week and a half ago about 1.5%. So we were able to get those numbers back quite drastically. And surprising to me. All right. I would not have been able to predict it. And so I kind of stand corrected because I wasn't sure where we were going to go at the time. So clearly there's still a lot of uncertainty on the table. The uncertainty is, do we have a deal with China? Do we have a deal coming on July 9th with the EU? What does it look like with UK and with India? Do we have anything etched in stone? Are there any real deals on the table? And the answer is probably no. Yet the market continues to go higher. Now, is that the market's climbing a wall of worry? Is that people are forward-looking, that they figure, you know what, we can't even imagine that we're not going to have a deal because that would be so bad. So we must be getting a deal. You know, net-net, the economic numbers that have come out recently are pointing to the fact the retail, the one disappointing number was the retail numbers. Retail numbers were disappointing, showing that retail prices have increased and that is an impact of a manifestation of the of tariffs, and that is putting pressure on the market. The CPI, PPI numbers were in line. The jobs numbers were in line. So I don't think we've seen a lot of the big impact of tariffs yet on the economy. And so we're kind of at a crossroads still. We have not, I mean, you started the question by saying, have we figured out any of this, the quandary, the questions of the story? And I don't think we have yet. Yet the market continues to go higher. And I think one of the factors that's a very important one is I think there's a lot of money on the sidelines. I think that a lot of the big guys came into the new administration. They had been maybe 80-20 equities, and then they went to 80-20 cash in anticipation whether they were a supporter of Mr. Trump or not. I think that they just felt he was a wild card, that the chances of him being the market being a little, you know, how the market couldn't have gotten any better because we were trading at record highs, right? We had 58 record highs in 2024. So why not take some money off the table, get into cash, and then see how this whole story with Mr. Trump pans out? For a minute, it was a good strategy. And I think where we're at now is, and I think it's contributing to the market going higher, is a lot of those big players are underinvested. There's a lot of cash on the sidelines. And so whenever we have a little bit of a pullback, you see the buyers come in, buyers who are thoughtful buyers, buyers with, you know, I don't know what the word is, but, you know, just thoughtful buyers are coming into the market. And so, you know, while there's still many unknowns, it feels like, you know, look, our attention got diverted by whatever's happening in the Middle East. An attack here, an attack there. Both sides are obviously at a heightened level of confrontation. And so I think that's diverted our primary attention from tariffs to global political confrontation. And so it's taken our eye off the ball. And so the question is, where do we go from here? We're at the crossroads. You know, do we step away from the engagement with whatever's happening in the Middle East and the effect that has on oil and stuff like that? And or do we go back towards focusing on tariffs? Really getting the tag. At the end of the day, the markets and the economy need to have resolution when it comes to the tariff problems. War or no war, tariffs have to be settled. Deals have to be made. We've heard about it for months and months, and we still don't have any deals.
So if I understand you correctly, it's more important that we figure out the tariff side than the geopolitical things like Ukraine war and the Middle East.
I believe so. Historically, global confrontations don't have that much effect on markets. They do before they happen, right? There's an old Wall Street adage that when the bombs start to fall or the blood in the streets, it's time to buy the market because the anxiety is out of the market. And now we know we're in a war. We have certain things that we understand. There's less uncertainty. And I think that's where we are in this confrontation. We know, you know, not any of it's good. And we know we don't know how it's going to end. But at the end of the day, I think the most imposing threat to this market on the upside downside is tariffs.
So there are experts saying, you know, we are on the edge, like to maybe a crash. Would you expect a crash in this like situation right now?
You know what? I would not think of a crash. I don't think the market is telling us that story at all. You know, I always defer to the market. The market tells us, you know, what it thinks of all the information. Now, look, it's a possibility. There's always a 50-50 chance that that's going to happen. It makes me think, right? Because historically, every time that we've had a crash, and I don't use that word lightly at all, we have been the only component in a crash that is constant is that before the crash happened, we were trading at record highs, and we are close to record highs. So, you know, the puzzle could be setting ourselves up for that. But my gut is that I almost feel like the market's too big to fail. There's a lot of money behind it. You know, markets and economies don't often trade in the same sphere. And so, you know, even though people may be struggling economically, the market seems to be doing okay.
So what would you think? We have a lot of viewers at home investing a few hundred bucks every month into the markets. Should they just continue? What's the strategy that makes sense in these days?
Well, you know, I'm not a financial advisor, and so I will disclaim anything about telling people what to do. But I think that the dollar cost averaging approach to investing in this market continues to be the right pace. It's proven well. If you followed that strategy in January, February, you did well. If you followed that strategy in April, you've done well. You know, at the end of the day, you can't go wrong using that approach of putting a couple hundred bucks a month into the overall market and have exposure to everything.
And do you see a change in the sectors? Is it going away from the tech sector, more to arms or something like that?
You know what? Look, I think when the war started to come out, I think we saw a lot of European defense stocks rallied, right? I think a lot of German ones rallied. And so that's sort of very situational, transactional, as it were. And I think that, you know what? It felt like for a minute when Mr. Trump was going after the NVIDIAs of the world and causing problems with China and NVIDIA and Huawei and all that. People should read up on that story on their own. That it looked like maybe people were straying away from the Mag 7 and stuff like that. But I think we're right back there with it. You know, NVIDIA is still at the top of its game. And the AI revolution is still in full swing. You know, I met a gentleman today who's the head of financial services at NVIDIA. I had him on the as a guest this morning. And, you know, I mentioned to him that I work with Dan Ives, who's that number one tech analyst. And who always says that we're in like the second or third inning of a long baseball game, you know, that where it's an industrial revolution in AI. And he said he thinks we're even more in the beginning. We're still singing the national anthem, that we haven't even begun to see all the amazing derivative plays of the AI space. You know, Mr. Ives just, and this is also not a recommendation, but it's interesting for people to look. You know, the Magnificent Seven, the AI phenomenon is quite something. And Mr. Ives, who is the number one tech analyst in the world, who works for Wedbush, just issued a new ETF called Ives, IVES. And it's about 30-some names of his best of breed in the AI space. Many of them are derivative plays, smaller names that will benefit from this revolution. And so I think tech is still front and center.
Are we going to do the next interview with your AI version?
No, I think I'm going to stay human for a while. Although I'm sure there is an AI version of me somewhere.
Peter Tuckman, the legendary Einstein of Wall Street. Thank you so much for the interview and thank you guys for watching. Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.